So let's go together to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and let's draw encouragement together from God's word. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning from verse 1, scripture says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us all lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And the word of God is so explicit, isn't it? It's such a place where we can draw encouragement from. And as I share with you in this few minutes, I really pray that, you know, my singular desire is that God will really encourage you from his word. Because when we come to the book of Hebrews, we're coming to a book that the author is speaking to a people that are facing weariness. When we come to the book of Hebrews, we come to a place where the author is addressing people who are faced with circumstances and situations that have made them to begin to face some weariness. Either weariness of the soul or some sort of tiredness was beginning to set in. And in that sense, we can identify with the congregation that the writer of Hebrews was writing to. We have a pandemic that is just not ending. And we thought when we come into 2021, it will be all different, everything will be new. So in 2020, we kept pushing, you know, we just thought, let's just get it out of the way. 2021, we're going to be fine. And then we realized it's still there. And for some people, actually, before even the pandemic, there's been certain situations that are just not changing, not turning out positive, not really becoming what they had hoped for. And there's been prolonged suffering in some lives, even before COVID arrived. And in that sense, we can identify with the community that was being addressed in the book of Hebrews. The author was speaking to a people that were facing real situations that could make them tired. And he used the metaphor of a race. And you know, when I read that, what comes to my mind, having lived and done ministry in South Africa for over 10 years, I first heard about the Comrades Marathon. And when I checked it out, it's 90 kilometers of running. That's crazy. I remember many years ago, first time in my life that I tried to run on a treadmill for 5 minutes. It's like my heart wanted to pour out. I just, of course, you know, with time and practice and training and everything, you get to endure 10 minutes and 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But the first time I tried to run for 5 minutes on a treadmill, I can't even imagine 90 kilometers. The agony, the pain. All of that put together, and the author brings us into that metaphor of a race and says, you've got to keep running this race. You've got to stay on course. And there are various people that let us know that the Christian life itself is a comrade's marathon times exponential number. It's more than a 90 kilometers. It's a lifelong race. It's hard. It's tough. There's lots of discipline that is needed. There's a lot of training that's required. More than a comrade's marathon, the author says to us that what we all engaged in is a race. It's a race. So he wanted his audience to know those two things. And then let's move to What is he saying in the first verse? He says to them in verse 1, if you look at scripture, he says, therefore, and you know, simple rule is when it's therefore, there must be a wherefore. You don't start with it, therefore, you know. And I'm assuming these are all theological students. We can save time by not going back to chapter 10 and journeying to 11 and then coming to 12. But he's assuming that you're following his story, isn't it? He's assuming that you're following, you know, from when he started the story and come, you know, the exhortation part didn't start here. But he now begins to make the point here. And we can safely assume that you're familiar with chapter 11, you know. He said, having told you all I said in chapter 11, look back at those people I spoke to you in chapter 11 and realize that there are people that bear witness to the faithfulness of God. Some of those people on that list were people that have experienced joy. Some of them experienced pain. Some had real struggle with sin. Some had real issues that they experienced, and they all made part of that list. You know, the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, I was praying and looking at that passage again, and I saw that they called Rahab the harlot. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just talk about Rahab? Why did Samson make that list? How did David get there? Oh, Jacob was also there. You know, having been a Christian, I've sat through all kinds of sermons about Jacob. Doesn't matter, he made it, he made that list. He made it, you know. There are all kinds of witnesses that have made that list. And they also say, look back and see that God is faithful. Be encouraged that the God with whom we deal with, he is faithful. I don't want to get into controversies with some theologians that read that place differently, you know, and validate ancestors that are actively involved. That's rubbish. The Greek word for that is rubbish. There's nothing like that. You know, the word that was used there is people whose lives bear witness to the faithfulness of God. Mm. Not some people that are sitting and getting involved and say, hey, you do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that to you. That's not the thing. It's people who, in spite of their failures, their struggles, their difficulties, their inabilities, God showed through them that he is a faithful God. Amen. That you can trust this God with whom we deal with. And he says to them, throw away every hindrance and entanglement. Are you dealing with a faithful God? You're dealing with a holy God. You're dealing with a righteous God. That which you're holding to that is a hindrance to the race that he's called you to, do away with it. Try it away. Try it away. So he said to them, keep running your race. Second verse, scripture says, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher, or looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the throne. So the author brings to them the picture of Jesus very quickly. He said, in this race, this is not comrades marathon. This is a longer race than comrades. If you're going to get it to the right, to the end, you've got to stay focused on one person, not many people. One person. Because that person is the one that he knows what it means to start a race. He knows what it means to finish a race. He knows what it means to endure in the race. That one person is not only righteous, but he is perfect. And you know, we're talking with our students in class. We're doing the book of Job. It was difficult, you know, suffering. People don't like to talk about suffering. It's more exciting to talk about other things. So, you know, start walking through the book of Job. And, you know, some say, I really cannot verbalize the kind of suffering that I've experienced. And I respected that because I know what it is. There is an excitement that is at the beginning, starting point of life and things, but there is some excruciating pain and suffering that can come sometimes at the middle point of life. And this Christ that the author places before us has experienced the joy of starting, the difficulty of the middle point, and the perfect finishing at the end point. And so he said, look to him. Look up to him and not around. Focus on Jesus. He is the perfect example of how to run and complete a race. Not anyone can qualify to be that example. Remember, the author of Hebrews, you know, has been challenging their thinking in many ways. He talked to them about our fathers and the prophets and how God spoke to them. He said, but now he's brought his son. He talked to them about the temple and how glorious. He said, no, but there is a more than that temple that has come. And again, he said to them, look at chapter 11. Now there is a better example than those in chapter 11. He is perfect. He is righteous. Look to him. And verse 3, as we try to come to a close, he says to them, consider Christ. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Said, consider Christ and endure. Consider what Christ endured and keep up the endurance in this race. Consider Christ and don't lose heart. There are times that you will like to lose heart. There are things that come to you and you really will feel, it's okay now, I can't take this anymore. Now, consider Christ and keep running. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. If you want to listen to the author of Hebrews in your heart, in one line, it says in this passage, don't lose heart. Don't throw away your confidence that you have in Christ. Don't even consider other options outside of Christ. Endure and look forward to the final victory of the cross. Because that's what Christ achieved. Christ is on the other side of the race. Because he went to the cross and he endured. And he came out victorious. Friends, as I come to close, let's listen to the author of Hebrews. He says to us, look back to the witnesses in Hebrews 11 and be encouraged that God is faithful no matter what. In spite of pandemic, sickness, disease, what kind of suffering, or even in joy, whatever it is, God is faithful. Look to Jesus and endure through the power of the Spirit to finish your race. And consider Christ and look forward to the final victory of the cross. God is faithful, trust him. Christ is perfect, emulate him. And the final victory of the cross is real. Look forward with joy. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come to you today, bringing our hearts, bringing our hurts, bringing our pain, bringing our disappointments, our worries, our anxieties, whatever it is that is slowing us down in this race that you've called us in. We come to you with those burdens, weariness that could be related to COVID or totally unrelated to COVID. We bring all of that to you today and plead for you to pour strength over our lives today. Encourage us, enable us to continue in this race that you've called each one of us. Lord, we just pray for your enablement over everyone that's here today, that we will know your presence, bringing help and enablement in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our circumstances. We pray and trust you, Lord, that you will bring your hand of blessing over this college and encourage the college community to continue bearing witness to your faithfulness in offering training that is biblically sound, that is in line with your plans and purposes. We pray, Lord, that you bring your hand of blessing upon the leadership of this college. We pray your hand of blessing upon the student body of this college. We ask you, Lord, that in your mercy, you will just take away every blanket of discouragement that is sitting over the hearts of people, the minds of people, and just bring that joy of the Lord that is totally a gift of your Spirit. Oh God, we ask for that in your name. Thank you, Lord, that you do these things for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.